Hey Ben, I'm phoning all well.
Yes.
And all looking very well, I have to say. I have to pee, I'm afraid. I've come to that point in my life. It's a great pleasure to me to be reading with Long Live. I've been reading her poems. I've been reading your poems with great pleasure, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing you speak them. I'd like to offer my condolences to the family and friends of Joe Sweeney. That's a big loss, especially if you've been at It's just one of those things, isn't it? People will leave us. Well, I hope he's having a good journey, and I'm sure wherever he is, he's making them laugh. I'm sure he is. I'd like to also offer recent birthday greetings to Mags, who had a birthday very recently. And oh, you're mortified. You can all send her slices of cake
Thank you.
or a voucher for Farm Gate
Of your
desserts.
following. Thank you, Theo. I'm wearing well.
Listen, the younger you're getting.
Yes.
Oh yes, there's a clock at the top of my screen. Good, I have to be careful. I hate running over. Even if only virtually, home again. So I'll count on Paul there up in the top left corner of my screen, wherever he is on yours, to give me the traditional throat-cutting gesture when you've heard enough. I thought I'd start tonight with a poem I rarely read. It's called Going to the Chateau, and it's for Deirdre Meaney, a dear friend of mine, a very talented, gifted artist, life companion of Murray, who died very suddenly on a summer's day in France. And I take the title and one of the lines in the poem from the last entry she left in her notebook. And the quote from her notebook is, "Happiness today was a field ablaze with poppies. Tomorrow, we are going to see the chateau. Listen, my darling, listen, the wind going over that dry green meadow down, watching it come and go the way your look does, going out to the horizon, then settling on my neck, my long hair blowing free. You draw on a cigarette, taking me in the way you have for so many years now. The best if I had in this life was in your look, through smoke dancing as a door blew open, or walking down Wellington Road in the early morning, climbing that Via Dolorosa in winter rain, your eyes catching mine, sometimes fire, more often so deep going in and seeing me, I would catch my breath. I was a stranger wandering this earth until I found home with you. Everything that we ever did was right. Everywhere that we walked, lay, climbed, or swam was a spur and nurture to curiosity. Your virtuoso flourishes with the brush or mine and dies, a kind of gesture or guarantee, invocation of the world when it's being itself. Sweetheart, stretch out your arms and let your eye be dry and exact now as it ever was. Look a last time on these my bones. Place poppies on my breast, measure me, make me a bed of silence to be my home. Oh, bring me home. But first, we are going to see the famous chateau. Are you afraid? Don't be. I knew you wouldn't be. Take my hand. Be shy again with me. Be strong now more than ever, and I will carry your look with me to the door. Breathe in my mouth and press my lips, my for me, such a rich and true life as we made. Be proud of me as I have been proud of you. Remember these poppies, this lush darkening field, this cold oncoming starry rush of night." And this poem remembers a dear friend who left us in 2001. Send down your sweet cascading rain on all who burn them in sea mist and gather them to the pool. Deluge upturned faces, oh, let fall cataract, sheet rain, torrent of cold water, that their bones may cool, their furnace hearts fall quiet, that dry rage cease. May they find peace who were in fire, wreathed and bound, or bring them on home in your song of water. You who were daughters once, now mothers forever, send down your rain, your cold, consoling rain. I have to read a Cork poem, of course. It's this time of year, I have a particular warm memory of the. You went out, and the night was endless. The light seemed endless. The light seemed as if it would never go. And one of my favorite places to go was to Audley Terrace at the top of Patrick's Hill, with that whole panorama of my beautiful north side laid out before me, and the last sun glinting on the roof of St. Vincent's on Sunday as well, and the fish spinning on the top of Shandon. The smell of the brewery before that beckon Egypt Jerry Van Seuss knocked the chimney and took away one of the key landmarks of my life. So closed circuit. I was fascinated when I was a kid in the Mon at the notion of, you know, staring out helplessly, hopelessly out the window, waiting to be free, and realizing that those swallows spend the winter in North Africa. Smart swallows, that's all I can say. Closed circuit. The light of evening falls in swathes over the north side and black pool. Children are rolling downhill in the long grasses of Bell's Field, over and over, elbows tucked tight, drenched in the smell of her. They never seem to hit rocks or roll in the signature of the city, broken glass. Laughter and light trip memory inward, rooftops press forward some long forgotten summer, and I fall in delicious vertigo into a classroom where I sit silent, staring. Even that youngest swallow, climbing on leaf smoke, starting on the miraculous journey south, bends downwind for home, though he has never been there. I sat in the smell of wood and chalk dust, baked in the sun with smell of the slaughterhouse, my mind soaring through the roof, neck hairs bristling. I hung for hours over familiar lanes and streets, picturing another home in another country. The calls of my classmates after school were high, wide, and shrill, familiar and alien. The memory neither fades nor fails to haunt. Afternoon music over North African streets. And today, I think you are a village in those mountains. There are squares and fountains, wells of cool darkness in the center of each house, the walls soaked in a whiteness that makes the heart ache. Every house is a house of mystery. Even the scrubbed tables are blessed with the imprint of our daily use and habit. Open the drab green shutters and lean out. I have been flying to you since childhood, and I thirst for the shock of your fountains, the cool shade of your care. Let me roll like a child forever in your hair. Somebody once told me that was a bad poem, because you can't be in two places at once. Did you ever hear such nonsense? You can't be in two places at once. You can be in any number of places at once, as far as I can make out. I was going to read. It's slightly awkward, isn't it, Zoom? Because, you know, you're looking down at the book and looking over it. And then, of course, you lose your place. Meanwhile, everybody is looking to see, have you got a spot on your nose? Or what's the title of the book behind your left shoulder? And it's a very bizarre phenomenon, isn't it? I noticed, actually, something peculiar. I never knew until I started giving poetry readings by Zoom that I have a terrible habit of licking my lips when I come to the end of a line. I'm so conscious of all these mad things on Zoom, don't you? I'd like to read a little poem for Jerry Murphy, who is making a splendid recovery from a nasty operation. And the man is utterly irrepressible. You cannot stop him, thank God. May he go on forever. This is called A Neighbor of Ours, and it's dedicated to Jerry. The lift of a linnet's wing was all he asked, with the fog a light gold over the brewery and the bells tumbling over sweet black pool from the North Chapel, Shandon, the Assumption. To be standing on Richmond Hill and the pale sun shining, a day in October, the air clear in his head. Nothing out of the ordinary. A simple, perfect moment. The lift of a linnet's wing was all he asked for and got. These highly sophisticated pieces of torn pages stuck in to tell me where I'm going next. It's the Harbour Festival, so of course, when I grew up in Cork, nobody sailed unless your family had a yacht. It was a terrible thing. That's all changed now, and it's quite marvellous. I remember many years ago, Jerry Murphy writing a few scarifying poems about the Royal Cork Yacht Club, as was. I doubt he'd write them now. I believe they're allowing human beings in, like people. I'm only teasing. But I became fascinated by sailing at a late age, and what I call a late vocation. And it's such a world in itself. This is called watchkeeping. The crew sleep on, my care for now, so different each from each. Zephyr going down says casually, just keep us off the beach. Dry in their bunks, they dream beyond the long swell's reach. A lee shore on the port bow, storm petrels, what they teach. Thunder ashore and the lowering sky, I am well beyond speech, all concentration. Wind coming up, tighten the mainsail leech. Here is what helming is and trust. We rest or we take the watch. We do what we must. Years ago, first really long trip I took with some of us brought Oliver Hart's old Spirit of Oyster Haven back from Antigua. And about 25 miles off the West Cork coast, I started to smell cow shit and hay and dry hedges and fuchsia. Yeah, then you really smell the land from that far out. And we just raised the fastnet, which means just see the loom of its light over the horizon. And I had a sudden memory of my grandfather, well, not a memory, but a thought, I suppose you'd say, of my grandfather as a very young man sailing past that on his way out to New York and back very soon after to take part in the War of Independence. And so there it is, a lighthouse in my family history that I didn't know about. I don't know if you heard the doorbell there, but it's been taken care of. At midnight, we raised the fastnet. 20 miles on a clear night, fitful stars, so many other lights to reckon with, trawlers, an eastbound coaster, something we weren't sure of going away from us on the same course. Simon, calm at the helm, picking them out one by one. It should have been cold, we had come so far north, and I was tired, but couldn't go below. Coming home off the sea, perhaps that was it, or a kind of doubling with my grandfather's ghost. Seeing him now as the newborn child he was, I hold that child up first sight of his homeland. I hold his beloved son, my father, suddenly as close. And there up ahead, my mother to welcome us home. All blazed in light, confident, beautiful, young. We so rarely think of our parents as young, isn't it true? My grandfather actually did see the fastnet for the first time, if he had his eyes open at all, as a child, because he was being brought home from rather adventurous birth. He was born off Cape Horn, and his mother, my great-grandmother, died in childbirth. They were coming home from New Zealand, where my great-grandfather had a grain shipping business. And they decided they wanted a child born, and so they headed for home. But unfortunately, she died in labor off the Horn. And so fortunately, there was somebody there to wet nurse my grandfather. And for many years, I thought that it was just that some woman had given birth recently and had enough milk for two. And I did, I sailed around the Horn myself, something. We sailed a boat from Chile to South Africa. And I wrote about it in a prose book. And somebody said to me after I'd read that section from it, you realize that woman probably had the milk to keep your grandfather alive because she had lost a child of her own. And it had not occurred to me. So there you are. I must find. See, I had carefully put pieces of paper in all these, and then I went, of course, and lost them. And I think it's on page 113. I was going to read you that little piece. How are we doing for time? Yeah, okay. This is a section from a longer poem dealing with that event, the birth of my grandfather. I often thought, 1972, I went to work in New Jersey for the summer, and my last conversation with my grandfather, he told me his two stepsisters, or half-sisters, I can never remember these degrees of relationship. His father had married again, that's it, their daughters. They were coming home, they were coming to Ireland for the first time ever. And I was his favorite grandson. So his last words to me is, they have a big farm on the North Island, I'll get that farm for you. And then he went and died while I was in New Jersey. So I think sometimes of my lost farm on the North Island of New Zealand. You know. Sadly, the lost farm. But anyway, this is my grandmother, great-grandmother. She died in childbirth off Cape Horn, great-grandmother. Died on a black ship heading home, the deck plunging and rising, the air down below fetid and chill. Salt everywhere, sweat in her hair and eyes, her breath faltering, falling still. There, at the end of the world, her house of memory caving in lamplight maybe, or in weak daylight failing, the coal that would have been cold, her fear for the child, the ebb in her blood, her last thought, a nurse for the child, the board on the lee rail, her body on it wrapped in old canvas, lead weights at her feet, good men to shoulder the board, captain intoning the service, his words on the wind. If it were me, I'd have done it at night under the Southern Cross. Wait till the afterdeck tips to the scudding clouds, then a nod, a sharp tilt, and she's over. She slides in, and then it's down, down, down forever into the green dark. The book snapped shut. A drink for the men. Everything squared away. We lost, not that long ago, our great friend Ciarán Carson, one of the finest Irish poets of the 20th or any other century. He was very dear to us. He was a good friend, Paula and myself, who loved spending time with him. He was a gifted, gifted poet. So I wrote him a little piece the night he died. And it's in Irish and my own translation into English. Ar hídam dul a vostu a machta na culata, hánig sédán ghuíha ag cnága ar an bána, é cúhilach, tostach, tiachtara a dúig, agus leisca ar an drocht nuacht a nocht. Higus ar nóe, réacht le hinsint aga, ghué an ochal le fada inis sa vermament, o réalt go réalt a ditim na híha, Marshin hen, Darius the Frab, Dullav Jangan, Imalav, Sola, Lam, the Gahul, Kulla, Ernavani, Gwayanokal, the Hubbin, and the Gala Gwiha, the wind of the ward. I was on the brink of settling into the arms of sleep when a gust came and rattled the windowpane, shy, reticent, a messenger from the north. Hesitant to disclose the bad news. I knew what it had come to say. We'd been hearing wind of the word across the firmament from star to star in the long fall of night. All the same, I woke with a start, your hand firm in my hand, flames of grief already arcing between your eyes, sleep cancelled, wind of the word. All of a sudden, the full gale. and I'll read two more. This is called, I won't explain it, except to say that the Skeleton Coast is on the west coast of Africa and is a notoriously dangerous place to sail. Found at auction in a doctor's notebook. Skeleton crew for the long haul north on the Skeleton Coast. Uncharted waters, reefs marked by a scribble of surf, roses dry in the rigging. Under the bleached pine decks, down in the bubbling dark, the plague struck, sweated and roared, stank and fell terribly, finally silent. The worst of it, thirst. Dry that and the night watch, tipping the bodies overboard under the stars. Captain and mate went early, then the young, one after another, but we stood on, we veterans, our bones long hardened by salt, eyes trained to the far horizons. We ruled ourselves by consent, the strong for the yards and canvas, the quick for the sheets and halyards, the tender to nurse the sick. We hardly spoke, look and gesture, the fluent voice of order. And still they died. I had the helm. When a man said, we'll fight her home whatever it takes. We'll fight her home, he said. And that we did. Could be accused of being a Cobbett poet. Just one last one. It's the Envoi. It's called Cape Horn. I hand over the wheel and step aside. I close my eyes, I think of you all, I open my arms, this wind from the icebound south sucked upward, then bent towards long imagined Africa by the looming weight of the continent up above. I feel the boat heel and dig deep as we drive on. I want to say, as we crash through broken waters, I will be gone as these under the keel are gone, that we ride the wind a moment. A moment only, but the better truth is this. Time is eternal now. There never was, nor ever will be, an end to voyaging. And long may all veils sail on. Thank you very kindly.